Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. It's been a while. It's so good to be able to come back to the house of the Lord, second home, or you can call this home. And just so that we are not so awkward, you know, even though we are supposed to have our physical distancing, but let us remember that we are not distant relationally. All right, for that, I would like to have a little exercise here. Can we just stand up? And what is elbow bump with one another as a method of greeting one another this morning. All right, so we can just elbow bump with them, you know, send them some greetings so that it won't be physical distance in the sense, all right, but we are reminded that we are one in the family of God, and it is truly great to be back here physically to worship God and to listen to what God has for us this morning. So really, really, it is indeed a good opportunity, a privilege actually, to be here once again to share with you what God wants us to learn this morning. Before we start, can we come to the Lord in prayer? Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we want to thank you once again for giving us this privilege to come back to your house, to worship you in person with brothers and sisters in Christ together. Lord, we long for corporate worship. We long for corporate listening and the preaching of your word. We thank you for Desa Park City is able to be opened this week. And Lord, we pray that this will continue in the near future so that, Lord, we will not be tired of, you know, coming together in person, and that we are not too physically distanced from one another until we forgot that we have relational relationship with one another, especially in the brothers and sisters in Christ. So Lord, we want to pray that you open our hearts this morning. We pray that your Holy Spirit continue to teach us, especially as we go into the book of James chapter 2 this morning. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Faith in action. This is in continuation of the book of James that we have been doing. And if you have followed us online, whenever I share the word, we'll be talking about the book of James. And today, we are in James chapter 2. All right, James chapter 2, verses 14 to 26. So if you have your Bible with you, may I invite you to turn to chapter 2, James, verses 14 to 26 this morning. Now today, many of us, we often claim that we have faith in Christ, but somehow, not all of us are living out the demands of a Christian life. Now, the doctrine of salvation by faith alone has made some of us very complacent, very idle, or very overly relaxed. And we can see that especially when we have our online worship. We could be in our pajamas worshiping God, okay? Nothing wrong with that, but some of us, we may claim that, no, we should be properly attired, we should be in an upright position to worship God, but that is between you and God, all right? But we have to remember that if we have a relationship with God, it does not really matter how we behave, but we have to remember that this one God that we are worshiping today is the one God who created the heavens and the earth. And by right, we should give him the honor and the majesty that he desires or he is due. All right? So with the doctrine of salvation by faith alone this morning, all right, or as we know, does our faith in God amount to repentance and turning back to God as a result? Now, we definitely have faith in this so-called virus, the destructive power of this invisible virus. We are unable to see it. This virus is called Severe Acute Respiratory Syndrome Coronavirus 2, or SARS-CoV-2, that caused the COVID-19 pandemic today. Even though the virus is invisible to the naked eye, we believe that it's there, and we can see the results of it. And at present, there are about 5 different variants of the virus, and we have faith in the experts by believing their recommendations simply because they are the experts. And even though initially the experts claimed that, you know, there's no need for us to wear masks, warm water can kill the virus, we can kill the virus by drinking bleach, etc., etc. Now, as a result of our faith in this virus and on these experts, We follow the SOPs required of us so that we are kept safe from the harmful effects of COVID-19. So obviously, there is a lifestyle change. As you can see now, we now wear face masks. We keep our physical distance with one another, at least 1 meter. We scan our MySujatova app whenever we enter shop premises, among many, many other SOPs. In short, there is a change in our lifestyle because we have faith in the existence and the destructive power COVID-19 carried to MCO. 1st of March, it has been about 1 year plus since we moved into MCO. As we reflect upon our lives this morning, is there an obvious change in our lifestyle after we put our faith in the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ? Is our life full of faith in action? Is our life seasoned with works or deeds as instructed in the scripture? Is our life seasoned? This morning, we are going to wrestle through one of the greatest controversial passages in the New Testament for some of us. Let us turn to James chapter 2, verse 14. Now, the question here is, faith requires works or deeds for us to be saved. Is it true? Because James chapter 2, verse 14 says this, "What good is it, brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him?" Is there a need for us to live out our faith? Is there a need for us to work for our salvation? Is this what this verse is talking about? Now, one glance at this verse, it seems to suggest that faith requires works or salvation, for deeds for us to be saved. Now, this is clearly contradictory to what we believe and to many passages that Paul has written in his letter to the early churches. Now, out of the many, many passages that Paul actually says that faith alone saves, I draw to your attention to these two, Romans chapter 5, verse 1. "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And Galatians chapter 2, verse 16 says this, "We know that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by the faith in Christ Jesus." So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus so that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by observing the law. Because by observing the law, no one will be justified. Are James and Paul contradicting each other? Or are they essentially saying the same thing? Now, there are many, many unresolved conflicts in the Bible. But I assure you, this is not one of them. I will simplify this situation in their respective contexts, which takes into consideration the crowd of the people that both James and Paul are talking to at that time. They wrote these two letters in the two simple equations, as we can see here. The first equation. Faith minus works or deeds equals to salvation. So this is what Paul is saying to the people at that time, because his target group is especially against the Judaism or the legalism that was being practiced at that time. Okay, so if you are familiar with Judaism, all right, they require you, all right, to become a Jew first before you can be saved. So imagine if we apply it to us today. It simply means that you and I, even though we are Chinese, we have to become a Jew first. We have to undergo circumcision. We have to follow all the Jewish law. And plus faith equals to salvation. So this is what the Judaizers are actually teaching the people at that time. And if you are familiar with Galatians, the book of Galatians, Paul is highlighting these issues to the people at that time. But essentially, what Paul is teaching us in the book of Galatians is saying that how to know you are a Christian and how to become a believer. And it is through faith alone that we are a Christian and we are a believer. The second equation, this is from James. James says that faith equals to salvation plus works and deeds. So we can see that fruit of salvation is our words and deeds. And James is actually targeting the idlers. That means they who believe that faith equals to salvation and they wait for Jesus. They don't do anything else. They don't live it out in their life. They are Christians by name only. And this is basically who James was targeting at that time. So essentially, James is saying that how to show you are a Christian by having your salvation and your work or your deeds or your lifestyle as a believer. And James is also teaching us how to behave like a believer. All right, so we can see that there are two different aspects of it, but ultimately they are talking about the same thing. They are talking about the same faith that saves and justifies us through Jesus Christ. Similarly, we can see that in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, same, written by Paul. For it is by grace that you have been saved, through faith. And this not from yourselves, but it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Similarly, we see that Paul is taking up this essential of our salvation here. We are saved by grace, through faith, to do good works. So let us see from the letter of James how to have faith in action. And how do we differentiate bogus faith from bagus faith, genuine faith. And let us see what James said about bogus faith from verses 14 to 19. So we are able to see, firstly, faith is not something we talk about only. Faith is not something that we talk about only. In verse 14, if a man claims to have faith, claims, talk only. That person may say that, oh, I'm a Christian. He claims. Or even his IC may show that he is a Christian. Now we see that James is referring to him or her who claims or who says that he or she has faith here. And this group of people talk about faith and perhaps know all the right phrases, they know all the jargons that we commonly use in the church context. They may say amen, they may say hallelujah, they may say God bless you, they may type it out, peace be with you, God loves you, etc., etc. Words. There are a lot of people who claim that they are Christians today, but we do not see that in their lifestyle. And if we nod our head in agreement to the sinner's prayer or to certain doctrinal statements, but live out none of it, but if we live out none of it in our lives, our faith is merely intellectual, our faith is merely barren, and it is worthless. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, again, some people may not agree with it, but let us have a look at this, what Jesus is saying. Not everyone who says, claim. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord. Not everyone who claims to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But only those who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Does the will. Bogus faith is all talk only. Bogus faith or genuine faith is more than something we talk only. It is accompanied by actions. And secondly, faith is not something that we feel only. James chapter 2, verses 15 to 16. Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes or daily food. And if any of you says to him, go, I wish you well. Keep warm and well fed. But does nothing about these physical needs. What good is it? So you notice that James has been very specific. These are some physical needs that we can attend to. It's not talking about, you know, healing somebody from illnesses. It's not casting out demons on someone else. It's talking about physical needs that we can attend to. And we can see that it is in the context of a church. So we have no excuse not to exercise our faith in the church. These are physical things. These are people whom we claim we love. Are we living out our faith in such a manner? But if we choose to respond as what the scripture records in verse 16, go, I wish you well. Keep warm and well fed. Or say to them, go, the Lord will provide for you. I feel for you. You take care. If this is what we only do, this is what we only say, I'm sorry, but we are having a bogus faith. Because bogus faith, we feel for others, we have the sympathy, we have the emotions for others, but we stop there. Go, I feel for you. You take care. Now, bogus faith, genuine faith, is accompanied by actions, and it is reflected in 1 John chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or a sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. A simple, straightforward instruction. And one of the proofs that our faith is active and real is that we love other Christians. And we are known as Christians by our love for God and for the people around us. And if we do not feel like helping others, we do not have a sick faith, but rather we have a dead faith. And genuine faith is more than something that we talk about or something that we feel, because it is always accompanied by action. Now, the third point. Faith is not something that we think about only, in verse 18. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. Our Almighty God seems to know us really, really well. And He seems to cover every aspect of our lives so that we no longer have any excuse to say no to faith in action. And this verse here is for those who say that, you know, you are into faith, I'm into works. You have your style, I have my style. Each of us is unique, and I can decide how and when to show my faith. And you, as a fellow believer, have to accept me as who I am. Now, we notice that bogus faith sometimes thinks about me all the time. Me, I, mine. This implies that some of us are really comfortable in taking our faith as an intellectual manner where we study, where we debate, and where we discuss for the sake of gaining knowledge and for the expression of faith at our convenience. It's our faith in such a manner that thinks about me, myself, all the time. And God inspired James to tackle this issue, as we can see here, because James recorded there, in the next portion of the same verse, show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. Now, Chang Swindoll, who is a pastor serving with Insight for Living Ministry, tweeted this phrase in November 2016. And I find it amusing and relevant to us this morning. He says this, faith is like calories. You can't see them, but you can always see their results. Similarly, we know that, you know, we cannot see faith, but we can definitely see faith in action. And since we talk about food, you know, during this 1 year MCO, another simple illustration is that, you know, we have this New Year resolution we make every year. And I may say that, you know, I believe that my health is important and I want to live a long and healthy life here this, you know, 2021. And along came my wife Celine, you know, and she may ask me these questions. Do you exercise? He may ask me. Do you get enough rest and sleep on time? She may ask me, do you take vitamin supplements? She may ask me to go for medical checkup. She may lastly control my food intake because I do not take healthy food. Now, if I answer no to all these questions, I don't exercise, I don't get enough rest and sleep on time, I don't take vitamin supplements, I don't go for regular medical checkups, I do not eat healthy food. Obviously, there will be no food or visible outcome to my resolution to be healthy, even though I want to or I dream of having good health. Because there is no action to back up my lifestyle and my habits. As you can see, I'm getting rounder. So obviously, I do not exercise, I do not have enough sleep, and I don't really eat healthy food. And she has also put on some weight. Okay? So this is to say that it is the same with our faith. It is the same with our faith because faith is like calories. We cannot see them, but we can always see their results. And it is hard to imagine that this God that we are worshiping this morning, the one who created the heavens and the earth, has come into our lives, but you and I, we still remain unchanged. It does not matter what we claim, what we feel, or what we think. Genuine faith is accompanied by actions. And lastly, James is saying that faith is not something that we believe in only. Because in verse 9, you believe that there is one God. Good. Really good. Even the demons believe that, and they shuddered. James ended his part of the argument here by highlighting that faith is not something that we believe in only. Because the evil one, the demons, they also believe that there is one God, and they shuddered. And shudder means to tremble uncontrollably, violently, typically because of fear. And in comparison, we do not seem to take God as seriously as the demons do. We do not shudder in fear when we talk about God. We do not shudder in fear when we think about Him. We do not shudder in fear when we see that He is still in control of this world. Are we less compared to the demons? There are a lot of people who have strong beliefs about God, in the authority of the Bible, and in the salvation offered through Christ Jesus. But brothers and sisters, just saying that I believe in God is not enough for us to get to heaven, because even the demons believe in God. But we know for sure that we will not be meeting all of them, the demons, the evil one, in heaven one day in the future. So the question that we need to ask is, what is the difference between us and them? The demons believe in God, but that is it. There's no action to back their, what they believe. And we will most probably miss heaven by about 18 inches, because without any action to back up what we believe, that is roughly the distance between our head and our heart. If what we believe about God is here up in the head without inside our heart, we will most probably miss heaven by a mere 18 inches. Now, head knowledge without the conviction of sin in our heart and the need for repentance will result in bogus faith. And genuine faith is accompanied by action. So let us reflect for a moment. Let us reflect for a moment. Is our faith today going to make us miss heaven by 18 inches? And if there is a question, if you were arrested for being a Christian today, right now, if the authorities is coming in and they are going to arrest you, would there be enough evidence to convict you of being a Christian? Will there be enough evidence to convict you of being a Christian this morning? We thank God that the book of James doesn't end there. Because if it is, then we are in deep trouble. James follow up with the next two part where he prepared for us here. From verses 20 to 25. The lives of Abraham and Rahab, they are definitely guilty for their faith in God. And let us see what happens, or what James is talking about in James chapter 2, verses 20 to 25. You foolish men, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. Verse 24, you see that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? If we want proof that genuine faith is faith in action, we can search the scriptures and we can see that faith without deeds is dead. I believe we are familiar with both Abraham and Rahab. And these two characters are two very different people. And I have once again summarized, tabulated their differences here so that it's easier for us to follow this morning. So for their differences, Abraham is a male, Rahab is a female. He is the Hebrew, Rahab is a Gentile. Abraham is a patriarch. And then Rahab is a prostitute. He is of major importance in the records of the Bible. Rahab seems to occupy a minor role there. And you notice that Abraham has a personal encounter with God, whereas Rahab, she only hears say that there is this God of Israel. But they show a very great similarity. Both of them, they have faith in God that leads to action. And they are listed as ancestors of Jesus, in the genealogy of Jesus. When we talk about faith, Abraham is always, always the example we refer to, because Abraham trusted God to the point of being willing to sacrifice Isaac, his own son, whom God promised him after so long. And Abraham is considered righteous in the sight of God because of the outcome of his faith in God. He enjoyed a right relationship with God, and he gained God's approval during his lifetime. And so, therefore, Abraham is the best example of faith in action that both James and Paul quoted from Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. Now, when God justifies us, when God justifies a man, God justified him when he fully trusted God, demonstrates his love for God, obediently listened to God's word, and acts accordingly. Now, God justifies a sinner who is spiritually alive and who shows trust and obedience. And Abraham, the father of all believers, serves as a striking example to faith in action. And of course, being human, like you and I, some of us, we may object, this is Abraham that we are talking about. Not all of us are like Abraham. He is like the man of faith, the one God has chosen to speak and reveal himself to him in person. And James agrees with us, because Abraham demonstrated faith in action, and so did this little girl called Rahab, who was a prostitute. Now, the next example that James uses here is a total contrast compared to Abraham, Rahab. And Abraham's obedience reached his climax when he showed his willingness to sacrifice his son, Isaac. And Rahab knew about Israel's God only by hearsay. She heard about it. She never met him, but she believed. And yet, she displayed her faith by identifying herself with God's people. And we can see that Rahab's faith is matched by her deeds in Joshua chapter 2, verses 9 to 11. I know that the Lord has given this land to you, This is what Rahab is talking to the spies at that time. I know that the Lord has given this land to you, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you. Heard, she hearsay only. When you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorite east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. And when we heard of it, once again you see here, when we heard of it, our hearts melted and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on earth below. Rahab, a prostitute, heard about how God brought the Israelites out of Egypt 40 plus years ago. Joshua, the second generation of the Israelites, they are moving into the Canaan land at that time. The people of Canaan, they heard about the Israelite God. They have seen this God in action when they took out the two kings of Amorites. This is the proclamation of her faith at that time. And immediately we are followed by her actions in verses 15 and 16. This is what she did. So she let them down by the rope through the window, for the house she lived in was part of the city wall. Now she had said to them, "Go to the hills so that the pursuers will not find you. Hide yourself there 3 days until they return, and then go on your way." Rahab protected the spies by hiding them on the roof of her house, and she sent the king messengers out of the city in the wrong direction. Now, Rahab is permitted to take her place next to Abraham. They are equal in the sense because of the faith that both of them have showed in their life. For this reason, she is considered righteous just like Abraham because of her faith in her action. And James concluded in these two verses that faith without action is dead. James chapter 2, verse 17 and 26 says that, "In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. And as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead." Faith and works or deeds belong together and they cannot be separated. And faith without action, or bogus faith that we talk about this morning, is not genuine. And it's completely different from the faith that is committed to Christ. So as we summarize for today, faith is not something that we talk about only. Faith is not something that we feel only. Faith is not something that we think about only. And lastly, faith is not something that we believe in only. Because faith in action or bogus faith or genuine faith, they result in works that shows a distinctive Christian lifestyle and demonstrates that the true believer stands in a saving relationship to God. And let me end with this illustration. Now, in 1859, many years ago, there was a French guy with the name of Charles Blondin, who is also known as the daredevil of Niagara Falls. In his lifetime, he was estimated crossing the falls on cable 300 times and walked more than 10,000 miles on his rope throughout his lifetime. And over 25,000 thrill seekers at any one time saw him in action at that time, whether it was on the American side or whether it's on the Canadian side of the Niagara Falls. And Blondin did many stunts as he walked across the cable from the either side. You know, he was on the bicycle, he was walking through the dark, and he even carried a stove, you know, cooking an omelette in the middle of the road. And also, he was blindfolded throughout it all. He was even seen pushing a wheelbarrow with a sack of potatoes across one end to the other. Now, all this were done numerous times. At one point, he asked for the participation of a volunteer. He asked the crowd, "Do you believe that I can carry a person across in this wheelbarrow?" Now the crowd, you know, they enthusiastically yelled, Yes, definitely. You are the greatest tightrope walker in the world. We believe in you. We believe that you can carry a person across the Niagara Falls in this wheelbarrow. Then Blondin asks, who wants to get in? Who wants to get into the wheelbarrow? I believe I'm preaching to a group of believers this morning. We have seen God in action throughout our lives. Faith in action will cause us to get into the wheelbarrow and let Christ be the one that wheels us across to the other side of our troubles in our lives. With God's perfect record of His faithfulness, we should have faith in Him and we should be obedient to His commands. And for those who have heard God's great deeds in the lives of His believers but have yet to experience Him in person, God is inviting you to put your faith in action by trusting in Christ Jesus today. No matter your background, no matter your past, no matter your social status. And God's grace is reaching down to us this morning. And He is saying to us, I want you to know me. I want to have a loving relationship with you. And as we look up, we may choose to say, yes, Lord, I want to know you. And yes, Lord, I want to have a loving relationship with you. When God's grace reaches down and your hand of faith reaches up in response, that is called salvation. And that is what it means to be a believer of Christ and to be a believer of this so-called God. And we are saved by grace through faith. And we believe that God has a plan for you and I here on earth. Because we are definitely not here by accident. So are we living out a life that shows our faith in action today? Are we like Abraham and Rahab, who believed in God and acted accordingly as a demonstration of their faith in God today? What about us? If you and I, we were arrested for being a Christian this morning, would there be enough evidence to convict us? Let us pray. Father in heaven, indeed, we want to thank you for this loving grace that you have given to us through Jesus Christ, that we have accepted it by faith. Lord, we pray that you will continue to remind us that your loving grace comes with action. And Lord, we really want to live out our life showing that we have indeed faith in you by living out a life that is pleasing to you. Not to be complacent, not to be idle, waiting for you to come back, Lord, but we want to make an impact in our society, in the workplace, in our family this morning, today. And Lord, we want to start now. We do not want to wait until the time when it's almost our end of our life. We do not want to wait for when we are free. We do not want to wait until the point when we are ready. Because, Lord, we believe that you get us ready as we choose to obey in faith. So, Lord, we pray that you continue to remind us that faith is something more than what we think, more than something more than what we feel, what we believe in. Lord, we want to really live it out in our lives. And Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit will continue to remind us, teach us, Lord, how to live a life that is pleasing to you, how to live a life that will bring people back to you. We want to uphold and give thanks this morning. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen.